Our Community Connection in Lycoming County is a nonprofit with a mission to help people in need, attaching the hope that someday they may be able to pay it forward and lend a hand to someone else. Barbara Irvin is the executive director of the Favors Forward Foundation in Williamsport. She and Dr. Beth McMahon discuss the origin of the nonprofit and how it's changed lives, including theirs. Dr. Beth McMahon takes the story from here.
Back in 2009, we had a lot of friends that basically just got together on a whim when they heard of a hardship, and they would work together to help that person whatever they needed. So we thought, wouldn't this be amazing to do this on a larger scale? And there was a deacon in our community who was one of those people that give back until it hurts. And we sat around in like a focus group and said, what'd be a good name? And he said, you are blessed when you pay it forward. So when you have a skill set and you're born with something, whether it be your need to give back or if you're a singer, whatever your skill set is, when you pay that forward, that's a blessing you give to the world. So boom, there it was. It came from a deacon and it was a perfect name. And I think when we serve clients, they then are asked to pay it forward in a way. And once they come out of their hardship, because we work with people that are in a crisis, a death in the family, an illness, the loss of a house, a job loss, a child being sick. So once they are back up on their feet, they make an attempt to pay it forward. And it's a trickling effect in our community. So it makes sense.
Different types of circumstances merit different types of need. So how do you go about getting what is necessary to help people in your community?
The main clients that we have are those that come up with unexpected hardships. So we have probably 120 active volunteers that Barb basically keeps a good eye on and sends out email blasts to them when we have a need. We work a lot with people that are suffering from domestic violence. Say they're in a homeless shelter, they find a little apartment and they move out of shelter. They got the shirt on their back and a couple kids dragging behind. We can get them their entire apartment pretty much set up within a couple days. Domestic violence, illness, job loss, when there's a death in the family, very often the house becomes very chaotic and they don't know where to turn. People do not know the Health and Human Services until the day they need them, and then it's a little late. Barb would be the best one to tell you how after they are referred by a neighbor or a loved one or just a stranger saying, you know, I know someone that's husband just died and the kids seem to be a mess and I don't know how I can help. That's where Barb takes it from there.
Barb, what was just explained to me were circumstances that go beyond the day-to-day. So when someone is going through a traumatic situation, how are you able to help them so quickly?
When I find out through an email or a phone call, I do ask them to get on our website, which is favorsforward.net. And on that website, they can complete a form that gives me their basic information, and then perhaps I ask if you're already working with an organization, give me that information too. And then I do a quick background check. As Beth has explained, we do have volunteers. We don't want to put them in harm's way. So we'll do a Megan's search or keeping an eye out for felons. However, if a mom and dad made a mistake 2, 3, 4 years ago, we're not going to use that against their children. So we'll still do what we need to do. I also then reach out to various organizations that are already in the Williamsport area and see if they can provide whatever services they need. If they can, great. I give them, I share the information, and I note that that's where they're going. That's who's helping them. If not, I send out an email blast saying, for example, we have a young man that was setting up an apartment and he needed everything. And so I sent out an email blast saying, you know, this is a 22-year-old man who is now on his feet and really needs to set up. He needs all these things. And I listed them. Because he is also working with an agency, I will say you can contact me either with my phone number or an email, or you can contact his caseworker and her name and contact information and let her know or me know what you have to offer. And then it goes from there. People start delivering things. Beth delivered, I believe, a bed mm-hmm. and a table and chairs. So it works that way.
So you have now this group of individuals, this wonderful group of volunteers, and once you get the word out, that's when everything, all the pieces start to come together.
Right.
And Beth was saying earlier that you can get someone set up within a day.
I try.
<It's> incredible.
I try my best. You know, sometimes I can't. And I will get back to that person and say, look, I'm trying this and this. If you go to, say, Salvation Army, let me know what they told you, because there's communication. And unfortunately, because of HIPAA laws, there's not like a set thing. We can't share information on clients unless they let me know they went to STEP or if they went some other place. And then I can call the caseworker and say, what have you found? Have you been able to do anything? So I do my best to get it done, but I'm thrilled if it's all done within a week.
So basically, you're the point people, and you're sort of the conduit to every other agency that they've touched base with.
And agencies even contact me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I need a bed, and we don't have any funds. And that's the other thing, too. We don't have funds to go out and buy stuff. So at that point, I will reach out to our volunteers and say, does anyone have a bed? We have Adopt a Family for the Holidays, and one of the best things that I remember is that I had a guidance counselor call me. A mother had called her crying because her six-year-old, all she wanted was bunk beds so her sister could sleep in the same room with her. We had a volunteer buy them brand new bunk beds, brand new mattresses, and bed linens for this little girl for Christmas. Like, that's just super.
Yeah.
Beth, would you like to add to that?
I think everybody has a sense of a spirit. So I believe that the spirits kind of look over us sometimes. And of course, we cannot advertise our clients. Because if we talk about a family we're helping in a certain area, and it's a 12-year-old that committed suicide, and we're helping the family and the little brother get certain things, everyone knows who that is in our community. So everybody says, we know anything about you. Well, you're not going to until you really need us. Someone will find you, kind of thing. But this is the one story that really hit me probably the hardest at the very beginning of our organization. And there was a little boy, he was in an elementary school. I think he was in third or fourth grade. And he had gotten cancer. And he had multiple treatments. And his mom would drive him back. And of course, as we know by data, very often it tears a family apart when there's a terminal illness in the family. And so it was just his mom and him and his older brother. Adverse childhood experiences is a very research component of children's development. So if a child grows up in a home where there is trauma, illness, death, some sort of dysfunction, the likelihood of their drug and alcohol use is increased, the likelihood of their suicide attempts are increased, they have long-term effects, higher blood pressure, lower life expectancy. It's crazy because when you are young, and your normal child development gets interrupted. We are very sensitive to that. We have a program called Partners to Promise where we get kids whatever they need that are in those households because we know through research if they can develop a skill set, they can control something in their life, whether that's a 1,000-pound horse, learn how to play the guitar, gymnastics lessons, whatever it is, we're going to find somebody that wants to do that. We help the mother. We would also help her clean her house. Things were chaotic. And the older brother wanted to learn how to play guitar. We got a hold of our local guitar people, and they said 1 year of lessons. We had it covered by our volunteers, and then we put out the blast. We need a guitar. We get 3 phone calls within the first 3 hours because we don't give a lot of details, but enough to know. So the first person calls, and it's a woman, and she says, yeah, my son left for college. I have an extra guitar. I said, that's great. Give me your address. We always just hook up the donor with the client, because if they can meet each other, sometimes that relationship will last for a lifetime. Second phone call we get is a kid from our local Penn College. So we have a community college now. It's an affiliate of Penn State University. And this is a kid, and he's 22 years old, and he said, I have a guitar I want to give to you. And we said, we already have a guitar. He goes, no, you don't understand. I need to donate this guitar. He comes in, and he said, I was homeless when I was 16 years old, and my mom had died of cancer, and I went off the rails. And in this homeless shelter, I was going to kill myself. But this older man came up to me and said, look, buddy, I'm going to give you my guitar because this saved my life. My life was in shambles. And when I learned how to play, it gave me some sort of a form of control again. He gave the kid his guitar. The first person calls me back and I said, we can't take your guitar. They were furious. They said, okay, fine. Then we're paying for 1 year lessons for this kid. I said, okay, if you must. But those are the kind of relationships that come together. It's like a front seat to goodness. And in the world right now, where there's some dark times and people are being forgotten and left out, this is just a beautiful thing to watch happen. The volunteers have a gut level need to give back. And when you get a group like that, there's no stopping them. There's nothing we can't respond to.
You have a lot of different types of programs, and you take care of a lot of different disciplines in your organization. But you just said about people are the momentum that keep it moving forward. Barb, how do you find such giving people?
You know, they basically find us. I've already reached out different, like, agencies, and I'll be honest, some of them have said, I didn't know about you. And then I'm telling them, and they're like, add me onto your email list. So it's life. We find them through life, just doing what needs to be done and reaching out. And word of mouth. I've had people call me and say, well, I called such and such, but they told me to call you. And that's how we find them. Beth has all the factual and the data and a lot of studies behind her. Like, she's really into it. I just sort of stumbled upon it because my husband had had a dramatic brain injury. And a lot of people were helping me. And I thought, I need to reach out. I need to find a way to give back. I stumbled upon this. And that's how I got involved with Favors Forward, because I needed to pay it forward. But I get so much because I'm lucky I have one-on-one contact. I delivered Christmas gifts to this one mother, and she just started bawling in the middle of the street. And she said, I just had to cancel all my son's presents because I have no money. And there I stood with a big black garbage bag full of wrapped gifts for him. So I'm fortunate because I live it. I deal with it. I have people calling me and thanking me. I have volunteers who, one father adopted a family for the holidays and he made his children go with him to deliver the presents to the family. And he called me and said he was so grateful because he wanted his children to see what it's like to give back.
That's a beautiful lesson.
Yeah, I also wanted to piggyback on that. We do a program called the Spring Cleanup, and we partner with Lycoming College, 200 or more student athletes, and they go out in teams, and they go out to the elderly, disabled homes, 34 homes throughout our community. They go do river cleanup. They help churches. They do go to nonprofits and clean up. The women's soccer team I got to work with this year, and we went to a community garden and helped them mulch everything and get ready for the planting and that type of thing. And Barb mentioned that she was already has experienced hardship in her family. Well, this one woman that would serve on our board before, she was also one of our clients in the past. And so I went with the men's football team to this woman's house. We cleaned up, and a lot of times there's 34 homes, so we're not exactly sure what's going on in each home, but we know there's a hardship. And so we're cleaning up, and of course she invites the whole football team in. She's got a spread out there. She's got bagels and eggs and everything ready. You look beyond her kitchen, and there's the living room area, and there's a hospice bed. And her husband is lying in a hospice bed, hooked up to a morphine drip, probably about 2 days before he dies. And she said to one of the football players, could you help me here? Could you help me pull him up in bed? So they helped, and I noticed the one football player, you know, 200 plus pounds, a tear coming from his eye. And she said, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for that because I can't get him pulled up very often. And I looked at those football players, and there was about eight of them, and I thought, these kids are going to do good in whatever community they go out to. It is like throwing a pebble in a body of water. That wave is going to go. And those kids, how that impacted them, we all know that. I think everyone that's listening here has done something for somebody, and they come away with that sense of, oh my God, I got to do more. what can I do next? That felt so good. And I think that's one thing that we do is we model behavior like that. And they think, oh, well, and what Barbara's talking about, drag your kids out. That's what I did, too. I would take my kids and I would make them go with me. And they'd go, oh, come on, Mom, it's Christmas. We're not doing it. Nope. Yes, you are. And by the time they got done, they were like, that was so cool. And I know they'll do it. And I know they have. I have older kids and they do it. They do something for somebody all the time.
You can explain this in a very clinical way, but make it very understandable for everybody who's listening. What are the benefits of giving back?
That is a great question because I think we feel them. We can all feel that. There's things called endorphins. We know what those feel like. When someone makes you laugh, sex, have a sense of spiking those endorphins. And I think volunteerism is one of the biggest scientific proven effects of endorphins. So you might not know what that, they call it a helper's high. So after you're done, no matter what was going on in your life that you thought was such a big deal, you just walked away from a hospice bed, helping a minor little thing that made the world of difference to the person that was there. So that is proven blood pressure, because anytime you relax, it also reduces stress in your own life because you get out of your own head every once in a while. You start thinking of someone else. So you've got a blood pressure drop. You've got a cholesterol dropping because your body's not overproducing. You also have a sense of social connection, which we know through science is one of the biggest predictors of longevity. The better you're connected in your community with your people, the ones that love you, you know that when you're on your deathbed, you're having both your hands held, or at least one held, right? So you're there, like you were there for your mother, right? So if you know you have that connection in the world, your body has a tendency to age slower. But the most important thing you get is joy span. And I don't know if you've ever heard the book Joy Span. I love it. It has nothing to do with how long we live. It has to do with how much joy we experience in the years that we do live. And volunteerism probably contributes to that more than just about anything. But you really do have to have a strong social connection, too. And I think that brings it to it.
Volunteers are giving of their time, of their talent, of their heart. Mm-hmm. And they really don't expect anything in return except maybe a thank you.
Right.
And even if they don't get that thank you, they feel that they've done their part.
Exactly. And a lot of the other areas, and you've probably read a lot of books on this, but purpose. We all have to wake up with a purpose. And if you have a purpose, you have a reason to go on. And I think volunteerism really helps you connect with someone and feel the purpose of life. And that's priceless. When I see people like Barb and Lori Wanup, Lori Solomon, our board members, Mary Geis, she's a teacher for 30-some years in the district, Jim Weirs, he's our treasurer. When I see them, they inspire me. When I see, I'm a foster mom. So when I see these kids that have gone through literally hell on earth, you know, their childhood was totally stolen from them, and that people expect them to be as productive as my bio kids that had the perfect little life, mom and dad there, and everything went well. I looked for people that were compassionate, and those are the people I spent my time with. I like to stay on the ground with people that really feel it, taste it, smell it, been there. They know what it feels like to hurt, and they want to reach out and help other people. That's the people I want to be with in life.
And the beautiful thing about you, Barb, is the fact that not only do you work for the foundation, but you also work with CASA. So you're,
yes.
That's another huge responsibility. So you're really plugged into a lot of places.
I taught special ed for 30 years and supervised also, and then also worked with preschoolers with autism. My purpose is to know that I made a difference in someone's life. I want to be able to say, you know, somebody had a good day because I was in it. And I always enjoy the quirkiness, like teaching learning support and kids with autism. And the people who are having life-changing hardships, they have a quirky humor too, because that's the only thing sometimes that gets them through it, to be able to see some ray of quirkiness. And so I get to enjoy that when I talk to them or meet them.
It's very interesting and amazing to me how you're able to divide your time so beautifully between the two.
I don't know, because I also babysit 3-4 days a week for grandkids.
God bless you.
So I'm just so busy that I don't know I'm busy.
You were so kind enough, Beth, to forward me a listing of some of the things and programs that your organization is responsible mm-hmm. for.
Right.
So could you list a couple of them for
me?
Yeah,
I'd love to. So probably our biggest one is the Shared Time, Talent, Treasures. We do not have a large budget. As a matter of fact, 95% of everything that comes into us goes directly back to the client. So our overhead's about 5%. We have person capital is what we have. So we ask people to share their time. So if a kid needs tutored and mom's struggling with cancer, we can find a tutor for them usually. Talent is basically what talents do you have that you can share that someone else might need at that point. So that's the biggest thing. That's when Barb gets the phone call. We hook them up to Health and Human Services. And then what isn't met there, we send out an email blast and our volunteers respond immediately. Probably the other biggest one we have is adopt a family for the holiday. And Barb spoke to that. And basically, during the holidays, people that are in crisis or have trauma going on in their family, the kids are basically the casualties. We forgot that Christmas was even coming because I'm sitting there watching somebody struggle with an illness.
We serviced 90 children got gifts through our volunteers last Christmas.
And so what I love about this program is sometimes we'll hook up a volunteer with a client family. So they help them with their Christmas gifts. Sometimes they get them the Christmas trees if they don't have that. But the kids give us a list. Some of it has to be educational, can't be all toys, house needs, that kind of thing. So what you would typically get at Christmas, our donors make sure that happens. Barb hooks up a lot of organizations and businesses that do that. A lot of people do it with their church. You'll see the little tags on the Christmas trees. But how we do it differently is we take the whole family and we give them a family. I might say, I want a family of foster kids because that's deep in my heart. So I'll get a family. There might be a couple foster kids in that family. So I'll adopt that whole family. So that's how that works. We try to match. The other one we do that's really interesting is adopt a kid back to school, because kids that are living in hardship, poverty, illness, whatever, they go back to school and they already feel inferior. So 6 out of our board members are all educators. We have PhDs, we have masters, we have special ed teachers. We know child development. We know how important that is. And so we want them to go back right into the school first day with a nice little outfit on and everything's clean. They got the coolest backpack, nice sneakers, you know. That's really important. Image is so important for them. So that's another one. And Barb works closely with the school counselors. We have 2 other board members that work within school systems. They know the counselors. They're the best ones to target the families and the kids that are really slipping through the cracks during these hardships. We talked about spring cleanup. And Steve Weiser deserves all the credit for that. That and Lycoming College, they're coming into finals and they're still out there digging holes and moving mulch and cutting down shrubs. So that is so cool. And I think that's 200 student athletes between 19 and 24 probably that will then go out into their communities. So that is where, you know, you almost train the trainer when that happens. Partners to Promise was developed because of the science around adverse childhood experiences. We talked a little bit about that earlier. We have horseback riding lessons. We have a partner that provides that for a kid. Guitar, obviously, the local YMCA in our community provides a 1-year membership to the family, which is huge. There's a variety of different things, dance class, gymnastics. So we have partnered with a lot of youth skill building programs. So that's probably closest to my heart because we know those kids scientifically, if they can just get a skill set that they can control during this chaos in their life, they're going to develop a little bit better. They're still going to come out with traumatic effects, but it's going to be a little bit more under their control.
They'll feel a little stronger about themselves.
Exactly.
Question that I'm going to ask to both of you. You have so many wonderful programs and you're helping so many people in your respective communities. But what makes you feel most purposeful? Let's start with Beth.
We can only make a difference in our own community, in our own home, in our own life. So if you see something, do something. So I think purpose for me is that maybe one life is a little bit more calm. What can I do to loosen the load of that person a little bit? And that's, I think, why this organization works. But Barb had a little more time to think about that. That's a tough question.
I just want to make a difference. I just want to know that something good is happening for somebody somewhere. If I can do it through CASA, if I can do it with my own family, and if I can do it for total strangers, they don't owe me anything. They don't have to come back and thank me. If I know that somebody has a bed, if I know that a guidance counselor can call me and say, I need this done, or can you find this? That's what it is. Just meet someone's need. If I can't, then I know I can find someone who will.
I call you the Foundation Scout. Because you're here, there, and everywhere looking to help people, and you're finding the different ways, outlets that they can go and try.
I'm fortunate because with my years in special ed, I've had a lot of contact with a lot of agencies. And I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. I get to do that. I get to have contact. Beth, though, I'll call her. I'm like, okay, I'm hitting the brick wall here. Beth will have contacts in the community, and she'll be able to go, okay, I'll take over, Barb. Don't worry about it.
Favors Forward, there's a saying. It says, we embody the belief that when a community unites and lifts up their most vulnerable members, we create a rippling effect of healing, empowerment, and shared humanity that enhances the health and strength of all of us. Our true riches are human capital. Where we are billionaires is through the people in our community. They're the front line of us. That's who they are. They're our rock.
Special thanks to Barbara Irvin and Dr. Beth McMahon of the Favors Forward Foundation in Williamsport, creating a healing ripple effect of awareness, hope, and gratitude in Lycoming County. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.